Hey now, welcome to the program. The program is The Jungle. I am Jim Rome. And it's brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We start hour number two. Two of three. I am live. I'm in Southern California. And a lot of reaction to Jay Cutler at Yellow Robot tweets, Cuddy 2020. At Not Total Big E tweets, Smoking Jay is the hero we need, but don't deserve during this nutty 2020. War Cuddy interrogating the culprit once he or she is found. At Wooden Laconic tweets, inside job, looking for the real killer. I know that Jay Cutler is talking about his chickens, but where have I heard this story before?
Oh.
It haunted 00 Horse tweets, Jim, the wildlife camera, found out that Diego the Tortoise was getting after Cuddy's chicks. That jumped the day. D. Precopa tweets, Romy, I have a chicken guy too. His name is Colonel Sanders. Signed, Meals in the 720. Got an email. It says, I swear I heard big night, huh, ladies?
Big
when
night,
Lil Alvin
ladies.
Was fresh off his high school state championship at the senior prom.
Dude, yes. LeBron.
Wore Alvin's triple-double, and I'm not talking about basketball. Jake in NYC.
Big night, huh, ladies?
Rome, back in the day, I used to have a chick guy. Signed, Garv. Jack in La Habra, currently working in Corona. All right, there's your reaction. Start hour number two. 1-800-636-8686. That is your telephone number. You can go ahead and use it. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I've got Austin Eckler coming up at 40 past. And I've got Ben Golliver coming up in hour number three. NASCAR released a photo. Marty Smith tweeted this. NASCAR released a photo to the media of the garage pull rope formed as a noose from Bubba Wallace's garage on Sunday. And Marty Smith tweets, this image was provided by NASCAR. I'm looking at the image. No way anybody can look at that and not think that that was a noose. That's no rope pull. Marty Smith also tweets, NASCAR president Steve Phelps says NASCAR conducted, quote, a thorough sweep of all 29 tracks where they race and 1,684 garage stalls. They found only 11 total ropes that had a pull-down rope tied in a knot and just one noose. The one in Bubba Wallace's garage. Marty Smith also tweeted, NASCAR president Steve Phelps, quote, anyone who would suggest this was a hoax, I find personally offensive. I don't know how people think that way. End quote. So it's good to see NASCAR go in there and pick up Bubba Wallace once again, because he was out there for about 24 hours kind of fighting that fight by himself, defending himself, defending allegations that it was somehow he was involved, that it was a hoax. And the president of NASCAR, quote, Steve Phelps, quote, anyone who would suggest this was a hoax, I find personally offensive. I don't know how people could think that way. I agree. And if you see the image that's been tweeted out by Marty Smith, obviously that's a noose. You cannot look at that. Nobody can look at that and say it's anything other than a noose. And again, if your point is, yeah, well, it wasn't intended for Bubba. It was there already. All right. Why was it there? 1-800-636-8686. All right, before I go back to your phones, another topic. Oh, wait, this is from Bella B. Hi, Jim. Can you get Ritt to strike while the iron is hot? Get Jay Cutler on the podcast. Hurry, before he goes back to being a lazy ass. Bella B. That'd be Ritt's greatest turn ever. That would be the greatest book ever. I don't know that there's a more difficult kind of book right now than Cuddy, because I don't know that anybody's hotter than Cuddy or more in demand than Cuddy. Hey, Ritt, knock yourself out, yo. Knock yourself out. If you can turn Jay Cutler, Ritt, I might give you a lifetime deal here. A lifetime deal of coming in here and eating sugar all day long and doing who knows what the hell you do.
Game on.
Finally.
Finally.
Dude, what do you do besides make that daily, tortured trip to the hot chocolate machine every single day, Ritt? My man, if you could turn Jay Cutler, that would be a legendary turn. Have at it. Consider that your marching orders. Consider that a divorce. She's got a point now, Bella B. We'll see. Ritt's already booked out, man. He got Eric Weddle this week. Good turn. He's already booked out next week with Andre Iguodala. He's got the following podcast already booked after that. He's doing work. He's drinking hot chocolate, eating Rice Krispie, not treats, but bricks, and doing work. Dude, if you could get Jay Cutler, that'd be amazing. I think I've only interviewed Cuddy once, I think. Once on TV back in the day for JRIB. Before Cuddy went full Cuddy. And can I tell you something? The guy was great. He was totally cool, totally awesome. And this was before Cuddy was Cuddy. He was with the Broncos. Could not have been cooler. I sat backstage with him before we went on the set and fully enjoyed him, thoroughly enjoyed him. Cuddy was awesome. But that was then, and now he's 100 times more awesome. Get him, Ritt. Get it, Ritt. All right, so the current NBA. The current plan for the NBA calls for no games until the very end of July. Most teams are not expected to report until July 7th through July 9th. If everything holds, the Lakers and Clippers would not face each other in the playoffs until months from right now. But that has not stopped the smack talk from starting. And if I were to ask you, in between the Lakers and the Clippers, in the middle of all that, who do you think might have started that smack talk? Teams have not reported. They have not started to play. The postseason is far away. The Lakers and Clippers could not potentially meet for months in a playoff matchup. So who do you think started that smack talk? Easiest question ever. Patrick Beverley. That's who, of course. No brainer. All day long. No days off from the smack talk. Not if Pat Bev is involved. If Pat Bev is involved, trash will be talked. Even when he was not invited into the conversation. Patrick Beverley does not need an invite. So it went like this. Tuesday, Woj tweets, quote, "As coronavirus testing for players heading to Orlando starts today, teams are bracing for significant numbers of positive tests. One Western Conference playoff team had four positives in the past few weeks, per sources. Full training camps start July 11th at Disney." Woj then followed that up with another tweet, quote, "It's a bigger concern for non-guaranteed playoff teams to lose players to extended quarantine before Orlando. Playoff teams worried less about needing key players for seeding games in August, have more time to get players back into shape. All are worried about soft tissue injuries," end quote. All right, so far, nothing sensational. So far, it's just straight. It's just good information from Woj, but nothing really to start a fight over. No sign yet of Patrick Beverley. Then, Laker Jared Dudley retweets Woj and adds his own comment, quote, "Not enough talk about soft tissue injuries with basically 2 weeks of full court, 5-on-5, to prepare of a 3-month potential season," end quote. Again, nothing edgy, nothing crazy. It's a valid point. Teams and players are concerned about soft tissue injuries, like damage to the muscles, ligaments, tendons. It could result from quickly ramping up, too quickly after a long layoff. It's a solid medical point, but by God, that's Patrick Beverley's music. And sure enough, Pat Beverley jumped in on Twitter. Jumped in without an invite. Patrick Beverly tweets, again, basketball is a year-round sport. We don't want to hear that bleep. Check. With a basketball emoji. All right, you have to see it to fully grasp it, but that is an incredible move. What a Pat Bev move. I love it. I love that he's really not even a part of the discussion, and I love that he's just flying in, and I love that he ends it with check and a basketball emoji. Kind of like he's checking the ball at the top of the key, and the game is about to restart. It really is an amazing sequence. Jared Dudley is making a solid, valid point on behalf of all NBA players. And here's Pat Bev running out the locker room, down the ramp. Well, wait, there's not even a ramp. That wasn't even a fight. That wasn't even a wrestling match. Patrick Beverly built the ramp, built a ring, put Jared Dudley in that ring, and came running down the ramp, vaulted onto the turnbuckle, and then body slammed Dudley. I love him giving Dudley a, well, actually, when it comes to soft tissue injuries, quote, basketball is a year-round sport. As in, stay in shape so you don't have to get into shape, dud. I love that he's essentially saying, if you get a soft tissue injury, that's on you for not doing your job, a year-round job, and staying in shape. And don't talk to me about a global pandemic or anything like that. Quote, we don't want to hear that bleep. End quote. I mean, yeah, seriously, that's a pretty harsh way of looking at things. But I would not expect anything less than that from Pat Beverly. When you consider what this guy's battled through to get where he is, he's not going to let some global pandemic get in the way of his plans. He's not going to let some global pandemic get in the way of his look at a ring. Hell no. Hell no. If you don't know that, you don't know Pat Beverly. Check this out. From when Patrick Beverly came on this show back in 2013, he was talking about playing overseas. Does this sound like a guy who's going to back down?
You played in the Ukraine, you played in Greece. I mean, did that prepare you for something like that? Was it tougher over there than it is here?
Yeah, well, definitely. You know, I've been in games where, you know, I've been hit in the face with quarters, you know, big bow dollars and blood is gushing down my face. I've been in games where, you know, fans throwing tear gas on the court. The game is postponed for 2-3 hours. You know, so I don't think anyone's going to do that in the States. But I've been in those type of scenarios where, you know, fans are breaking glasses and in the middle of a game where fans come out the stands and hang on the rim. And you know, I've been in those type of situations. So you know, I can deal with some boos in Oklahoma.
That's crazy. Did you just say you got hit in the face with a quarter and you were bleeding down your face on the free throw line
in Turkey? We playing in the Euro Cup quarterfinal, and I'm playing defense, and the fan chucks a gold dollar or a silver coin, whatever it is, hit me right in the face, start bleeding, you know, passed it up, got ready for the second half.
They ain't playing in Turkey. I got hit with a silver or a gold dollar, patched it up in the second half. That's nothing, though. What about the death threats? Was there a death threat or threats?
No, not at all. I'm from Chicago, so I tell people I had a harder time while trying to get to school every day. So I'm not worried about the little Twitter beef. You know, I kind of laughed it off. It's pretty funny for me. You know, so I kind of laughed it off.
Again, you're not going to scare this guy, not with soft tissue injuries or a global pandemic, or some lame Twitter beef, or even a death threat. So Dudley comes back at him with, quote, I don't know what you're talking about. Season happening, believe that. But if you don't think we as athletes should be talking about protest, injuries, COVID, then you might want to sit this convo out, brah. End of quote. Hey, Dud, the next conversation Patrick Beverly sits out will be the first. You know that. Or if you don't, you do now. That's why he's Pat Bev. And that's why he's awesome. You think you're just minding your own business on Twitter, making a valid point. But Pat Beverly is lurking, always. He's ready to jump into the passing lane at every second. He's Mr. 94 feet. But he's so much more than that. He's not just picking you up full court. He's picking everybody up full life. He's D-ing up on the floor, on social media, everywhere. And then like that, he was gone. He did not respond to Dudley's second message because he didn't have to. He made his point. No excuses. Stay in shape so you don't have to get into shape. Then you won't have to worry about soft tissue injuries. And then it's good. Check. Patrick Beverley, legend. And another reason why the Clippers might just win the weight that Doc Rivers is always talking about. Man, nobody liked Pat Beverley. I miss that guy. We got to get him back. Hey, Ritt, that's another one if you can turn him. If you can turn him, I'll give you another life sentence here. Those are your next two. Jay Cutler and Pat Beverley. A lifetime supply of Rice Krispie bricks if you can turn those two guys. Hot chocolate for life, Ritt. And Mike D for three tweets. Jared Dudley's body looks like one giant soft tissue. So I understand the concern. Romy, Charlie Weiss is going psychotic. He's bleeping eating chickens up here, and we need help. Regards Cutler calling 911 when he catches Chuck Weiss on the night vision camera murdering chickens. Geoff, just shooting his shot. No matter how many times I tell Geoff to stop, he won't. Just shooting his shot. And Street Girl fan tweets, war Rice Krispies cinder blocks. They are too. I hate those mornings where I come in a little bit late and he's already murdered the block, the sugar block, and I missed out. One of the highlights of my morning, I've got two highlights. One, walking by Ritt and seeing that he's mowed half of that cinder block Rice Krispie. And secondly, right before the show, when he makes that tortured walk to the hot chocolate machine. Those are my two favorite moments. Ritt, you're the best. Finally!
Game on.
Game on. Time for some hot chocolate. I love the XR4TI, man. I got the best crew ever. When we return, coming up this hour, Austin Eckler. My thoughts on Zion and more. You're in the jungle. Don't forget it. Clones. You've heard me talk about Walmart delivery before. Now let me tell you about their fastest delivery service yet, Walmart Express Delivery. Get groceries and more delivered from their door to yours with no contact delivery in 2 hours or less, zero markups, same low prices as in-store. So do not let work, kids, and at-home workout or whatever else life throws at you right now get in the way of getting what you want when you need it. Try Walmart Express Delivery. Walmart Express Delivery is incredible. Restrictions and fees do apply. Walmart Express Delivery.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Austin Eckler coming up in 15 minutes. Ben Golliver at top of the hour. As Squirrel 2 tweets, I know about soft tissue injuries. Yours, Art Modell. Nate Appleton tweets, time to die! Signed, Ritz Hart.
Finally.
I don't know if it's time yet, but soon, Ritt, if you keep going the way you're going, dude. 1-800-636-8686. All right, in the meantime, I do want to talk about Zion. And what I want to talk about is the fact that he has been working out and has been allowed to work out with the team and trainers, and apparently he's in amazing shape. And we saw what it was like when he made his debut in the NBA and how he played and what he got accomplished in about 19 minutes in his first NBA game. If this guy really is in that kind of shape and that good mentally and physically, I can't wait to see them turn this guy loose. I've got thoughts on that, which I will get to in a minute. But I mentioned that coming off the smack off last week, it's been a great telephone call this week. Why not try to just string that thing out? I'm going to hit that thing as hard as I can, as long as I can, because I know it's going to run out at some point. I'm playing the hot hand. That deck is going to turn cold at some point. Let's go to BC. Jeff in BC. You made it in, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well, mate. Got a question for you. I was bumping up and down the 8 back in about 95, 96, and you had to take about, I thought it was Dr. Beaudoin. I checked in with Stevie H. and Stucknut. Apparently it was Dr. Boudreaux. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't that the original crank call back in about 95, 96? Tom Tolbert was going on about cranks and faces, and wasn't the Tom Tolbert interview the original crank call?
You make a point now, Jeff. All right, so what he's talking about is yesterday was the 15-year anniversary of Toby in Houston. Arguably the most infamous call in Jungle history. And if it's the most infamous call in Jungle history, then it's arguably the most infamous call in sports talk history. I could even argue that it might be the most infamous call in talk radio history. We ran that down. Toby in Houston. You all know that call, where Toby in Houston was in a gym or a club and in the locker room and getting dressed, and there was Larry Brown. And then we know what happened next. Jeff in BC right there said, wait a minute. That's not the original crank call. Is the original crank call not Tom Tolbert talking about a crank and somebody's face?
Right in my face.
Well, let's see. And he mentioned Dr. Boudreaux. What is the history and the legend of Boudreaux? Let's go back and check the call.
What do they tell you? I mean, any of those horror stories, do they show you the videotape? I mean, how do they get you early on and say, hey, look, you don't want to do this or else?
Well, they always bring in the FBI early on in the season. These are like two guys that roll up in suits and tell you, look, if there's any shady characters rolling around, let us know. If anybody comes up to you and asks, are there any injuries on the team? Is anybody sick? Blah, blah, blah. But this one story, this was mortifying. I mean, you're sitting there, right? I was like, how old was I? Like 19, 20 years old. First big university I'm playing in. So I'm kind of taking this stuff seriously, like for about 5 minutes, and I dismiss it and go make my bets. I was telling the FBI guy, can you hurry up? The game's starting at 3 o'clock, okay? I need to get out of here. I need to get down. So anyways, awesome. He's telling me a story of this guy named Dr. Boudreaux. Dr. Boudreaux, right? I don't know where the guy comes from. It sounded like an urban myth to me, but this guy gives me this story. They showed us pictures of him. Like, stay away from this dude, like, at all costs. This guy's dangerous. So we're, like, sitting there listening to stories.
Dr. Boudreaux, real guy.
Exploits. And what this guy would do is he would hang out with basketball players or football players, like college players, get to know him a little bit, take him out for a couple beers. He'd, like, slip him a Mickey. Then he would bring them back to their hotel room, right? Back to their hotel room. They'd be passed out. They would wake up in the morning with, like, Polaroids of him standing over him with, like, his crank in their face and blackmail him. Absolutely incredible. I mean, this guy would just... And then he'd basically just say, listen, Buck, I want money, I want this, I'll be your agent, Buck, I'll be whatever you want. And the guys were just like, all right.
With all due respect to the family-oriented listeners up and down the West Coast across America, tell me you did not just say he would stand over with a Polaroid with crank in their face.
Wow. All right, so I've heard that several dozen times over the course of my life. I'm not sure that's ever hit me quite like that. To give you some background, that's Tom Tolbert. And I think for that exchange alone, I'm almost willing to take my Hall of Fame plaque off of my shelf and give it to Tolbert. Tom Tolbert was talking, that was 1998. So if memory serves, that was at the Final Four, probably. You could tell that was a remote location. Maybe not. Maybe that was an event. Maybe that was a station visit. I don't really know. Tom Tolbert was talking about his time at Arizona. He said that was my first big university gig because he also played at UC Irvine. So he was talking about the, quote, FBI coming in to give a lecture to the players. Be careful of this, be careful of that, and be careful of this guy in particular. And Tolbert said, can you hurry up? I need to get down. I want to bet. So that's Jeff in BC saying, now, wait a minute. Toby is getting a lot of credit for the crank call, but didn't Tom Tolbert make the original crank call? Yes, he did. Years before. So you're right, Jeff, in that sense. Tom Tolbert is one of my favorite human beings ever. Tom Tolbert is one of the best guys ever. And definitely one of my favorite athletes and interviews. I also mentioned once he came on, talked to, Tolbert had to catch a plane. So Tolbert and I did the interview, and then we went to a bar, which was right down the street because we had like a half hour. And I think Tolbert drank 6 beers in 9 minutes, and I tried to keep up, and he left, and I was just on the ground. Never, ever try to drink or match Tolbert drink for drink. The same Tom Tolbert who was back in our wedding post-party suite and emptied my mini bar the night we got married. Tolbert is a legend and the best guy ever.
Dr. Boudreaux.
Dr. Boudreaux. Thanks for resetting that, Jeff. When we come back, Austin Eckler. That is a crazy soundbite. That was from 1998 on the program. 98. Austin Eckler joins me when we return. In fact, we go back to back. Eckler and then Ben Golliver.
Crank in their face.
Yeah, I heard
right
it the first time, Albie. Here is your bottom of the hour sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's true. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. I am in Southern California. I'm in the same Southern California-based studio that I've been in this entire time. Good to be with you. As promised, we are joined right now by a running back for the Los Angeles Chargers. Monstrous season last year, more than 1,500 yards from scrimmage, 11 TDs, 92 receptions, 993 receiving yards, 8 receiving touchdowns. He signed an extension with the team in March. He was undrafted out of Western State Colorado University. Austin Eckler is my guest. Austin, great to have you back. Before we get into everything, how are you and everybody around you during this most unusual time, Austin?
Hey, first off, I want to say thanks for having me. Thanks for that introduction. I like the come-in song as well. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. Appreciate it.
But, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's been a struggle for sure, just trying to find a new routine, especially with, you know, season getting closer to, I guess, when we're supposed to start, but still not really knowing if it's going to be a possibility yet. So there's a lot of uncertainty right now. So you kind of just continue to train, try to find a routine that allows you to stay ready. So when we are called upon, you know, we can go out and perform. I think that's just the biggest thing right now. I'm just trying to, you know, stay safe, but also stay in shape at the same time.
Austin Eckler is my guest. All right, so what about that? In terms of training, you're a legend for your work in the weight room. So what has the offseason been like in terms of you not having your normal, usual access to facilities and gyms and team activities? What kind of workouts have you done to stay in shape?
All right, so I've kind of had my routine go all over the place. I like to switch it up as far as my workouts. So I did some at-home workouts and some, like, park workouts, like on, like, just pull-up bars and, like, push-ups and things like that for a while. But I can only do that for so long until my body starts to really feel just a need for bigger weights and something to, you know, put on my back. So luckily the NFL, you know, we got a stipend for some equipment. So I got my little at-home gym workout set up going and been able to push weights through that and run in the park. Because all the fields are shut down right now, so any bit of grass or straight street, I guess, is what I've been using. I've done some sprints in the street. It's come to that when it was really bad, when we were really locked down. But everything's starting to loosen up now, so starting to get into some of the gyms that I was going to before quarantine. And just kind of seeing some type of normal routine getting back together, and so at least I'm able to stay in shape. And now I'm just kind of waiting for the green light for the season.
Chargers running back Austin Eckler is my guest. Now, listen, one of the things you've done also during this time is start a company, Gridiron Gaming Group. What is that business about, and what was the inspiration behind that business?
Hey, I appreciate you bringing that up. That's awesome. So Gridiron Gaming Group was inspired by just the lack of new, basically, content coming from athletes right now. And I'm basically in the trial stage of it, using myself as an example. I'm streaming on Twitch. And, you know, people think of Twitch as like a game streaming platform, but I've kind of turned it into just whatever I feel like streaming, whether it be like I did a 30-day workout challenge on there. I've done video games, of course. I've done giveaways. I get on there and just do, like, motivational talk and talk about life. And so I've just kind of tried to create a platform to keep, you know, the fan base engaged. Or whoever, that doesn't have to be fans, whoever just wants to stop by and kind of hang out and get some face-to-face, not necessarily face-to-face, but, like, the best interaction we can get right now without any new content coming out for sports. So I would like to, further on, if proof of concept works with me, you know, bring on other athletes into the platform and basically share our community together and start up a community that way. But that's the motive behind that. And so it's been going well so far. So I appreciate it, yeah.
Just smart. Content is king. Austin Eckler, especially at this time when there's not as much content. Austin Eckler is my guest. You know, as I mentioned off the top, back in March, he signed that extension with the team. Before we get into the contract and what it represents, if we were to go back, because your story is so amazing, there's a photo of you before you made the team when you were still number three. Like, when you yourself look at that photo now, what kind of thoughts do you have and what were your goals at that point?
Yeah, referring to a photo I posted yesterday, it's funny because one of my best friends, he was out here after OTAs, and he's like, man, like, I took this photo of you 3 years ago, and that was, yeah, before I made the team. Like you said, I was still number three, which you can't even wear as a running back. You know, and I look at that picture, and I'm just like, it just, I don't even know. Everything just seemed to play its course, and I just seemed to, you know, take advantage of every opportunity that was in front of me. And, you know, it seems almost surreal, and it doesn't even seem like that's the same person. Like, it's the same person, but it's, like, in my mindset then, it was just, like, make the team. And now, since I've signed my new contract now, it's, like, how can I help myself but also make my teammates better around me? So I think it's gone from kind of a selfish, more selfish, make the team perspective to now more selfless, okay, let's make the team better. So it's been a journey, like you said. You know, started out mainly special teams and kind of worked my way into an offensive role, and then eventually, you know, took over the running back offensive role going into this next year. So I'm excited to see what comes of it, and hopefully we can get something going on the field soon.
Hey, let me ask you something else. I mean, if that's weird, if it was weird that that picture was taken only a few years back before you made the team and you were number three on the depth chart, what about the fact that when you come out of high school, and you and I have talked about this, but you were putting up enormous numbers in high school, and yet one Division I school after another passed on you. When you finally get to college, there were eight other running backs, eight on the depth chart when you got to college. And then you feel like there's a huge obstacle to overcome, and yet in your first game as a freshman, you end up starting. Like, what was your mindset then? How did you approach that first year at college?
You know, I feel like my mindset's been the same. That's what's allowed me just to keep overcoming, you know, either depth charts or just opportunities that are presented. I feel like it's just, you know, I don't compare myself to anybody. It's be the best that I can be with what tools that the coaches are giving me. And, you know, I feel like I just put myself in a position where I just make that my highest priority is, okay, be the best and the most consistent that I can be. And I just become obsessed with it. And I think you have to have that obsession with whatever you're in if you really want it. And I think that's what I've done. And, you know, I did that in college. And then I was ninth on the depth chart coming in and ended up starting all 4 years I was there. And then even coming into the Chargers, I was sixth on the depth chart here, and it took a little bit longer because it's the NFL. It's a little bit harder, but, you know, now I found myself in the same position, you know, sitting first on the depth chart. So it's just, you know, grow and grow, and just be obsessed with what you're in. And once you do that and you immerse yourself in it, you know, you see yourself having these little successes and they start building up and snowballing.
Like, it creates its own momentum because you give yourself over to the process, and then it's like, it's not, is it a grind or is it just something that feels natural and does it start to kind of feed upon itself? You know what I mean? Like, how much actual hard effort is there as opposed to you being swept up in the momentum of the process and the flow?
Right. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's a grind. Like, life itself is a grind, but once you immerse yourself, like I said, it becomes your lifestyle and it just becomes normal to you. Like, I'm used to, you know, working out in the morning and then running in the afternoon and then, you know, making sure I'm staying on my diet and watching film. Like, it just becomes your life. And so it doesn't necessarily be like it's not a grind because I enjoy it at the same time. So it's like, just kind of like, it feels like a hobby, but it's also my job at the same time. And it's also, you know, what I use to, you know, create and, you know, create this platform and help other people. It's hard to say that it's a grind because I enjoy it so much. It definitely is not easy. But that's life in general, like I said. And so it just becomes your lifestyle. Some people would say maybe that's not healthy, but you know, that's what it's come to be for me.
I was going to say it's a lifestyle. You said it right before I could. It's a lifestyle, and it seems to me nobody's ever accomplished anything great without that kind of commitment, without that kind of obsession. I mean, all the all-time greats would tell you the same thing. And then you got to be really creative and really innovative as well. Like, you were not invited to the combine. For those who do not know, what did you do for a pro day?
Yeah, so funny thing about my pro day, I cannot do it at my own school, at my own university, because there's too much snow on the field.
Wow.
Because my university is at 7,000, like 700 feet, the highest university in the nation. And so our spring season is pushed way back, so that's when the combine and everything is. So I had to go and try to get into a different pro day, which is at CU, and CU Boulder, Colorado Boulder. And they had their pro day first, and then they have like add-ons at the end, which is just people in the region that, you know, can go and they can participate in whatever the scouts basically allow them to. So for our instance was they let people run, jump, and then they cut. There's about 20 of us. They cut us all down to two people, and it was me and I think some other DB, and we were allowed to do drills and other drills like that. But yeah, it was pretty cutthroat out there because they were trying to get out of there. So that's what I ended up doing my pro day, and did pretty well at my pro day, which was kind of a big step for me because people were like, you know, why is this kid D2? Like, what, like, is he not smart? You know, is he not fast? Like, what, there's got to be something, right? And it was just like, that was my chance to just prove, like, no, I have the physical attributes and the knowledge to, you know, play at this level.
Austin Eckler joining us. What an amazing story. Now, you recently posted a video from inside the team's new stadium. How would you describe what you saw, and how eager are you to play in that new house?
Oh, my goodness. you don't even have to be a football fan. Just to go and just see the creation that is happening in Inglewood is absolutely phenomenal. It's an experience in itself, I'll say that. Just being around what they've been able to create, just with the stadium, and even they're creating a lake outside. They have like an amphitheater. So it's not just for football. It's for other, you know, entertainment events as well. And it's honestly top of the notch, everything. I walk through there and I'm just like, this is as futuristic of a building as I can get. And it's also my home stadium and a football field. And it's just literally an experience in itself. It's not even finished there. And I was just in awe, just pulling up to it, seeing it from the outside too. I was just getting, you know, some just gut feelings of just like, oh, I'm ready to play. And then walking down on the field was, you know, one of those moments where you just like, man, I just missed this so much. Just a little reminder of, you know, why you enjoy and love doing this so much.
Man, that's
so
the truth.
Can't wait.
Chargers running back Austin Eckler joining me for another moment or so. Now, Austin, you play with Philip Rivers ever since you arrived with the Chargers. You know it's a business, and I'm curious, what was it like to see him leave? Knowing that it's a business, what was it still like to see him leave, and what was it like, what do you think it's going to be like playing without him?
You know, yeah, it, like you said, it is a business, so, you know, eventually he was going to be filtered out, like all of us will be. But, you know, Philip, he was so important in my career, especially as a young player, just because he was the chief on the field and he just understood the game so well, and he knew how he wanted it to be played, and he could put everyone in a spot to succeed or at least know what they're doing and have an opportunity, and that's all I needed. You know, he'd be like, okay, even if you knew what your job was, he'd remind you anyways, just so he knows. It's like he's reminding himself or reminding you. And that helped as a young player because there's so much going on, you know, it wasn't always clear for me. But when I got on the field with Philip, he just made it so much easier so I could just focus on playing football. So I'm definitely sad to see him leave just because, like you said, I've been here 3 years with him as my quarterback. So, you know, that's a major change. And without him, you know, I think we'll have a new dynamic because we just have different types of quarterbacks. You know, Philip was kind of like a schematical guy who's going to protect himself, with, you know, either changing the play or changing the protection and just understanding everything. And now, you know, we have some more mobile quarterbacks that, you know, it won't necessarily mean they are not as smart as him, but they just don't have, you know, that experience and that starting time that Philip had. So, you know, I feel like we'll still have a great opportunity to have success, but I feel like it's going to look different than, you know, with Philip in there. You know, it might not be as, okay, if the pocket collapses, you know, it might have a little bit more of a chance to get it out. But, you know, it might not be in the best position like Philip would have got us in, but, you know, you can't dwell on that. You got to move forward and try to make it work.
He has made the most of the opportunities. What an amazing journey this is. Over 1,500 yards from scrimmage, 11 touchdowns last season. He signed the extension with the team in March. He's got a new company, Gridiron Gaming Group, where he is pushing out content. Austin Eckler about all the right stuff. Austin, great to have you back. Really, really appreciate you. And it's always good to talk to you, man. I love that energy. Always gets me hyped up. Great to have you back.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
You too, Austin. Thank you. An amazing story. I love what he's done. God, I mean, he was so overlooked all throughout and just kept grinding and kept coming and kept hammering and made the most of every single opportunity, overcame every bit of adversity, and now is on top. Great, great story. Great personality. All right, we will come back with a third hour. Two great Austin interviews. Austin Hooper, Austin Eckler, Ben Golliver joins me next. And then phone lines open for the rest of the program. Think about what you want to hit on. Think about what you want to talk about. Think about how you can make your mark. 1-800-636-8686. We're talking more NBA when we return.